The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I don't need you to worry for me, 'cause I'm all right. I don't want you to tell me it's time to come home.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. You're listening live right now at 96.5 FM or 1460 AM or possibly online at KCNR1460.com. Want to make sure I always give the disclaimer that I have no paid sponsors. I pay for this all myself. Also, you can go to my Facebook page, votekevincry.com, and you could listen to all the archives that I have. Also, if you want to go to my website, votekevincry.com, you could also sign up for the email list. And we don't have a lot that goes out, but it will keep you involved and up to date with some of the things happening. Weather, as always, brought to you by Weather NorCal, and that's a good friend of mine, Mike Kruger. Again, I'm just going to reiterate, that's not a paid sponsor. This week's forecast, obviously, you probably have woken up or you're going to be waking up, and it's going to be raining on Sunday, but it's going to clear up throughout the rest of the week, and by the latter part of the week, like Friday, it's going to be 80 degrees again. So we're still getting a little bit of that phenomenal fall weather we have here in Shasta County, which I believe is one of the greatest counties in the country. So this past week, and I want to first all also say thank you to Nick Gardner and Doug Janke from Poke the Hornet's Nest. This was their week, and we had a pretty big board meeting on Friday, and I really just feel that more needs to be said. So I called Mr. Gardner and said, hey, Nick, would you switch me weeks? And he said, absolutely. So, Nick, I appreciate it. And so for those listeners, be back here next week to hear Nick and Doug and their takes on everything happening in Shasta County, the state, the country, and the world. Appreciate those guys, so thank you again. I will be taking calls after the break. That number is 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. And so I'm gonna jump in. This was about we had an emergency board meeting on Friday, and I will go into pretty deep detail about that, but I'm gonna read something to you to start. Five police officers barged into Santa Rosa Behavioral Health Care Hospital with their guns at the ready. Inside the psychiatric hospital's adolescent unit on that Wednesday night in May 2023, patients were kicking, scratching, and spitting on employees as staff members struggled to pin them down and quell the riot. A girl ripped a block of sheetrock from the wall and hurled it at the workers. The on-call hospital administrator was nowhere to be found. There were too few employees to keep watch, let alone care for the 18 children suffering from depression, addiction, and suicidal urges who were supposed to be receiving therapy and mental health treatment. It was very chaotic, and there appeared to be no one in charge, one of the Santa Rosa police officers who responded to the hospital's 911 call that night recounted to health regulators. The staff was not prepared for this kind of situation. The riot was not the first time, nor would it be the last, that the for-profit facility run by Signature Healthcare Services was overrun by dysfunction due to neglect by both its operator and the state agency overseeing psychiatric hospitals. For nearly a decade, Santa Rosa behavioral employees and patients have pleaded for the California Department of Public Health to better protect the thousands of people treated inside the facility each year. The agency, which licenses hospitals and responds to patient and worker complaints, has documented dozens of violations at Santa Rosa Behavioral since it was opened, many of them tied to understaffing. The failures have contributed to a litany of assaults, sexual abuses, and potentially preventable deaths. These are the opening lines of a San Francisco Chronicle article about the nightmare situation at the Santa Rosa Behavioral Healthcare Hospital run by Signature Healthcare, LLC, out of Southern California. And unfortunately, this is not a one-off situation. All you have to do is Google Santa Rosa Behavioral Healthcare Hospital, Sacramento Behavioral Healthcare Hospital, and Reno Behavioral Healthcare Hospital, and read the news articles and reviews. These are three relatively close mental health facilities run by Signature Healthcare, LLC. So here's the thing. Shasta County dodged a bullet on Friday by refusing to issue a letter of support for Signature Healthcare LLC and its proposed True North Behavioral Health Campus. Signature Healthcare LLC was listed as the lead applicant and operator of this proposed mental health facility in Shasta County. Now, I'm glad our HHSA director, Christy Coleman, saw through this and presented her findings to the Board of Supervisors. Albeit, I wish some of that conversation happened a little earlier, but under no circumstances will Shasta County enter into any partnership or agreement with Signature Healthcare LLC if I have anything to say about it. I am surprised our local quote-unquote news media failed to mention the dismal and dangerous track record of Signature Healthcare LLC and are actively advocating for them to open their facility in Shasta County. Now, maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but all of those who yelled in favor of this project and who advocated for Signature Healthcare LLC, the lead applicant and operator, are on record for being okay with the above-mentioned Santa Rosa nightmare potentially happening in Shasta County, putting our residents, our youth, and our law enforcement at risk. Now, when you talk about contracting with Signature Healthcare on smaller contracts versus something of this magnitude and size and financial risk and possible extreme liability for the county, there's a huge difference, right? I'm not saying everything that organization does is bad. I mean, we've worked with them before. We work with them currently. And what's the big difference for me is I want to break this down, this whole thing down into three big buckets in this conversation today. The first is financial. I believe the most important thing as an elected official who oversees a budget is the fiscal responsibility of where we are putting ourselves. And I have to tell you, it is one of those things, and I always tell my players, you know, a smart person learns from their own mistakes. A wise person learns from the mistakes of others. And when I was running my campaign in 21 and 22 for the seat that I'm currently in, my opponent had given out, you know, pretty big raises, and that was a big issue. And now I'm seeing how that actually plays out and the disaster that's caused because of that. So I sit in this seat understanding the financial implications. And a lot of politicians are short timers. They look at how can I get a political win in this moment, and they don't consider the fallout and all of the ramifications down the road. And this, for me, from a financial standpoint, was horrific, and we're going to get into that deeper. The second is the safety. And when we talk about safety, I'm talking about not just the safety of residents, you know, the people just walking down the street, living in the neighborhood, mowing their lawn, taking their kids to practice, maybe pulling a double so your kids or even yourself can make rent or go on a special trip. But I'm talking about the patients as well, the patients that are going into these facilities, and also understanding the safety of when people are sent out of the area and the toll that that takes on a family as they travel. So it's a beach ball that you really have to flip around and see all the different colors. Because if I look at that beach ball of safety and look at one side, it's three panels, white, blue, and orange. But if I spin it, there's yellow, red, and, you know, turquoise on the other side. So you have to flip that whole thing around when you talk about safety. And I think the greater discussion, and we're not going to spend as much time on this, but is the ideology of how we got into the situation of mental health and the prevalence of substance abuse and what needs to be done really for long-term sustainable change. And again, I'm not going to spend as much time on that because I really feel that a lot of that starts with the nuclear family. It starts with how we look to help families and how we give them hand-ups, not hand-outs. And that is obviously something that takes a lot more people getting on board. And so I have a – before we jump onto it, I have a clip I'm going to play because for those that are just kind of jumping into this, what happened on Friday – is I called an emergency meeting of the Board of Supervisors because there was a application being submitted to the state for BCHIP funding for grant money. And again, when people talk about grant money, let's remember, no money's free. Nothing's free. It comes from somewhere, and it is taxpayers. And for this application process, it's gone a really long time. But at the very last minute, there's been a lot of conversation. And if you go back and watch the meeting, you'll see it, that there was even disagreement among a couple of the board members that were very for this project in terms of the letter of support that was needed for this project to even grow legs. Now, once I heard about this, I said, hey, I don't want to leave any chance that this thing comes here, because as far as I understood, this project wasn't going to come here because it didn't have the support of our behavioral health lead, who is also our HHSA director, Christy Coleman. So I never gave much thought to it because it sounded like, and it wasn't just her, it was her entire staff. Her entire staff. There was four or five employees that came up and spoke. Two or three of them, I think, spoke. A couple of them just sat there as a group, but none of them supported this. And you really have to consider the fact that when we hired Christy Coleman or appointed her in that seat a few months ago, our board decided that we were going to give her, I believe it was a 3 or 6 month interim title to see how she would perform and what she would do. And we voted 5-0 supporting her appointment because she had done such a good job, because she had answered all of our questions, because she had made the right cuts, streamlined the right departments, made tough personnel decisions. And as a board, we supported her 5-0 for her decision making of what we saw as the interim. So now I'm going to play this clip, and what you're going to hear is Supervisor Long asked me a question of why I was so against of just letting this play out and see what happens. And one of the things for me is I feel really strongly about you don't entertain things that you know are not the right direction. So he asked the question, what's the fear of just letting this play out? So let's go ahead and play that. But before you play that, and then at the end of the clip, Supervisor Long's going to bring up Christy Coleman, and he's going to ask her some more questions. So it's about a 3-minute clip, and this was towards the end of the 3-hour meeting. This is about, I think, 12 to 14 minutes before we took the vote. So let's go ahead and play that.
That's a great question, and I appreciate you asking it. So here's the thing. Some of you guys, if you could not groan, I'd appreciate it, because the gentleman, Mr. Long, or Supervisor Long, asked me, so I'm going to answer it like this. And I talk about my gut. The book, there's a guy in the Bible named Joshua, and he was pursuing, okay, here we go, they're moaners. So there's a story where there was three kings that were being pursued, and they hid in a cave. And they brought the three kings out, and they went to Joshua and said, what should we do with them? And he took out his sword, and he ran it through the back of their head. And here's what that symbolizes. You don't entertain what is evil, what is wrong, what is not the right path. And here's how this relates to me. When I've been letting this go, I knew this was coming. I mean, we've talked about the letter. I wasn't unaware, like Supervisor Plummer mentioned. I mean, I've been to workshops. I've had people talk to me a little bit about it and what I knew. I said, yeah, I'm not supporting anything that A, is going to possibly cost the county untold money, and B, I'm not interested in taking other people's individuals here, because you did hear, right? Some of the speakers came up and said, don't we care about our neighbors in Butte and Glen and Trinity? I do, but you know who I care about more? I care about Susan and her neighbors in District 1, in District 2, 3, 4, and 5. I care about Shasta County first. So here's the point of why I said, we got to do this letter, because I don't want any chance of any shell game in any way at the state level, something happening at the last minute where the application, what is needed for approval, all of a sudden becomes a bait and switch. You saw the Arch Collaborative representative, Ms. Johnson, and Supervisor Plummer actually disagreeing a little bit on that component. And that in and of itself scares me. So if there's any way, shape, or form, any glimmer that we can kill this now, I don't want to entertain it. I want to put it down. I want to put it down so it never infects our county. That's how I feel. Okay, that's your first warning.
Okay, I appreciate that answer, and I would like to call Christy back up. Now, what we're talking in this proposal, which the county is not the applicant, that's another applicant, they're talking about, you were talking about quality of life issues and some of these situations that occur. So you're aware in that, in their proposal, they're talking about CSU beds, correct?
Correct.
And that would be 12, I think, split between adults and juveniles?
I I think that number's correct, too.
I think it was 8 and 4, right? Yeah.
It changes.
Okay. And then there's the possibility if somebody needs more than the 23 hours of care, they go to the three-day facility, which is the 72 hours, and then get stabilized. And it's a crisis stabilization unit. And I was police myself, right? And I just know what we dealt with 5150s and some of those people that are in that crisis stabilization mode. And to have a facility to drop them off and to not drop them at an ER where they sit for sometimes they can be days there and then they get shipped to somewhere else, we can actually get them the stabilization treatment right now. And so I think that is a quality of life issue, and those are some of the things. And the other thing I was going to do you want to respond to that at all?
Yeah. Okay. So with the CSU, so we have one coming online here locally. And so what I would ask is what kind of needs assessment was done to make sure we actually need 3 CSUs coming online in our community? Because 23 hours is not long enough really for a county down south to come in,
sure,
get the client medically cleared, drop them off for 23 hours, go home, and then come pick them back up. The regional model does not work for a CSU.
And I know we have a difference of opinion as to allowing this project to go and then see if it even gets awarded, and then we can make all these over the next 6 months calculations. And then,
yeah, so what I would say is when I'm agreeing to something for 30 years, like, I want to know that I know what I'm signing my name to. I know it's in the budget. I know what I'm committing to. Right now, I don't know what I'm committing to. And so if you want a letter of support from Behavioral Health, I would say that the board needs to have some sort of direction as to why you guys are going to support the project for 30 years. So I feel comfortable knowing that it won't fall on HHSA budgets for 30 years, and there will be some level of commitment from the general fund to make sure that the general fund can fill in, because HHSA budgets will not be able to.
Right, right. And we're starting to beat the dead horse.
All right. So what's interesting to me when you read that, or when you hear that last part, when Supervisor Long says we're starting to beat the dead horse, that's why this meeting took so long, is because Supervisor Long, Supervisor Plummer, like, she gives the exact reason why. And he says, well, we can have a difference of opinion. Now, she's our HHSA director. She's our behavioral health lead. And she spends all her time in this space. He voted to support her. He doesn't have the information that he needs. And yet, he wants to disagree with exactly why she said what he just talked about with the quality of life issue. What the applicant and what Arch Collaborative was trying to bring forward isn't going to help that need. And furthermore, she's not willing to agree to something, to pay for something for 30 years without having that information. And then when he says, well, we're beating a dead horse. No, it's really like the horse is like, it's been dead. And nobody refutes that. But yet when we keep talking in circles about the same thing, and she gives the exact reason why, it makes no sense. And here's the other thing that, you know, kind of bothers me about this is Supervisors Long and Plummer, you know, we voted as a board, I believe at our first meeting or our second meeting of the year, to be our strategic plan individuals. And we're in October. And we're still not even looking at something until maybe December. It's going to take that long. And I don't ever hear this as being one of the items that they've brought forth. And we've talked about the alternative custody program some. But when does this process has been going for months. And I've heard neither one of them talk about the need for this facility. And no, that's not true. Supervisor Plummer has talked about it. I mean, he sent a letter of support for it. And when you look at the amount of money that this could possibly cost us, I think there's definitely an ideology difference between how all of us individually want to spend your guys' money as taxpayers. I think Supervisor Harmon and I, who have had to, and I'm not sure if Supervisor Kjellstrom has, and I necessarily can't really articulate those. I'll just say this, because I've had long conversations with Supervisor Harmon. We have laid awake at night, like staring at the ceiling, knowing that we have to make a big payroll and the money's not there, knowing that the next day is going to be extremely stressful to make sure everybody that counts on us for that paycheck are going to be okay. We've been to the bank for line of credits. We've been leveraged heavy at times, and then other times it's better. So we understand deeply, personally, about what that's like. And I think that's a big difference with a lot of elected officials, especially if they come from the government sector or they come from a place that they haven't had to do that. They don't see these financial decisions and how crippling they could be, because it's really, you know, I think a lot of them just see it as like no skin off their back. The next person will figure it out, or they'll just deal with it when it comes. And that's why we have what we have at the city of Reading. And yet we're still not talking about Signature Health, because since we had the meeting Friday, I've done even more deep dive into them. And as an applicant, and Arch Collaborative, either selecting them or whatever, like, did anybody do their due diligence about this organization out of Kentucky and the severe problems they've had? There is, and I think it's out of Kentucky, but there needs to be, and again, we've done the letter, but I really encourage you to go and Google them, look at the reviews, look at all the various facets of things that they're involved in. And again, this is the media reporting. And you know, I think the media is about as worthless by and large as can be, because I want to refer back to something here as we talk about the media and then about people coming from out of the area being dropped off here. Is there was an article in September by the Record Searchlight, and it's about the and I'll just read this. This is about the sex offenders being dropped off here. And again, many of us for years knew that this was happening, but then all of a sudden, of course, at the time, City Manager Barry Tippin, Chief Barner, Sheriff Johnson were officially alerted to it. However, you want to, unpack that, but I'm going to read this article here. It says, Reading officials are pushing back on a program that is housing people coming out of prison and on parole, some of them alleged registered sex offenders, in area hotels, including one that sits along one of the busiest thoroughfares in the city. City Manager Barry Tippin and Police Chief Brian Barner said among the hotels that parolees are being housed is the Guest Place Inn and Suites on East Cypress Avenue, which is just west of Interstate 5. Barner told the Record Searchlight that he will meet with the state paroles executive team on Wednesday afternoon, September 24th. Shasta County Sheriff Michael Johnson and Anderson Police Chief Oliver Collins also will be attending the meeting. We want to try and get some answers on not only the Guest Place Inn and Suites, but locations around town that we're seeing an influx of out-of-state and out-of-area parolees get released to Reading. So it's definitely an uptick, so we're trying to get to the bottom of it, Barner said Tuesday morning. In a September 10th email to the Record Searchlight, Barner said, It is very concerning to me, as the chief of police, to have out-of-area parolees, specifically sex offenders and violent offenders, being housed in our cities. Reading police have been monitoring the number of parolees coming into Shasta County for several months, and in February, the department saw an influx of sex registrants registering in Reading from out of the area, the chief said. In early September, Barner said, Reading saw an influx of 290 sex registrants on parole come in to change their address in RPD records as required by law, Barner said. So here's the thing. And again, this goes back to my second bucket of safety. Now, there's a huge difference between those that are mentally ill and need help than sex offenders. I'm not remotely making that correlation or that connection. But what we're talking about when we talk about safety and we talk about being a regional model, and you heard it in my when I answered Supervisor Long's question, it's not that I don't care about people. It's not that I don't care about my neighboring counties, but I care about Shasta County first. I care about the citizens of Reading, Anderson, Palo Cedro, Cottonwood, Shasta Lake, etc. I mean, this facility was being proposed to go into Shasta Lake. I mean, not Supervisor Plummer's district. So all of those people in Shasta Lake, in that area, and I've got a little part of out Lake Boulevard that's towards Shasta Lake, very, very, the Buckeye District, love them, love that group, love that precinct. And what I would tell you is, like, maybe some of you who are listening to this should notify Supervisor Plummer, like, hey, we really want these type of facilities and people with mental health issues from out of the county, we would love them in the city of Shasta Lake. I mean, let your supervisor know if that's of interest to you. Because, again, for me, this is happening, and it is happening on a huge scale. And a lot of it, and this wasn't one of the three buckets, but a lot of it is driven by nonprofits and a grab for money. But we're not talking about that now because that's like a fourth or fifth ancillary thing. So here's what we're going to do. When we come back, I'm going to talk briefly more about the media and how they're just letting this go because too many people are making money and they want to look away from it. But also, I'm going to take some calls because I want to hear your opinions. 530-605-4567. With that, we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Great food, affordable prices, friendly service. You'll find all that and more 7 days a week at Lulu's Eat-In and Drink-In Establishment.
Open 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sundays. From homemade soup, salads, and sandwiches to great steak, seafood, and Italian dishes, everything is made fresh daily and served with a smile, or we're happy to serve your meals to go. Simply call in your order to 243-6251. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, daily specials, and prime rib are available any time of the day. Lulu's Eat-In and Drink-In Establishment, where Pine meets Cypress Avenue, home of the best Bloody Mary in town.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, former mayor of Reading, encouraging you to vote no on Measure A. The city of Reading gave huge raises in 21-22 with one-time funding and the whole time knowing that sales tax was short. Now the city is $8 million behind and they want you to bail them out. Take a look at who is financially supporting this tax increase and who will benefit from it. I say no on Measure A. The city needs to balance their budget, but not on the backs of taxpayers. I'm Patrick Jones, and I paid for this act.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
My people love this country and we're under attack. They ban and us, they cancel us for speaking the facts. If you man enough, come stand with us, take USA back. And every time we pull up, all you're gonna see is American flags.
All right, American flags, we are back. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. We are going to take a couple callers, or we'll take some callers here in a second, but I want to make sure I clarify something. I had said earlier, Signature Healthcare out of Kentucky, and I had a caller call in, and this is the Signature Healthcare LLC out of Corona. So it's actually Southern California. So, and again, if I say something that's incorrect, I'm going to own that. So you just have to let me know. So, you know, again, I pay for this show. I don't have a paid staff. And so I do all the research I can. Anyway, all right, so we're going to go to our first caller. Nick, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, this is a classic example of the private-public partnerships that never work and cost us money. A facility that's going to cost $200,000 is going to be grant money. That's taxpayer money. A private entity is going to own it. And get this. Guaranteed clientele that the counties where the clientele comes from is going to be their income. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't disagree, and I think, you know, and I don't mind so much that a for-profit company is going to come in, but at least give us the numbers of what this looks like before we have to put even more energy or even come close to having it awarded. Because what is the most concerning thing to me, Nick, is you know, when projects like this get the inertia and get it moving forward and the ball is rolling, sometimes it can't be stopped. I mean, you'll see that with a lot of different things. And we have, you know, a couple of those on the ballot right now. And you see that inertia rolling and the narrative that's going with it. And, You know, you just got to say, okay, let's see how much the people understand it. So, all right, Nick, thanks for calling in. We have Doug, Doug calling in. Doug, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
Oh, it's Doug. Hey, thank you. And by the way, thank you to Nick who just called in for switching weeks with me. Doug, Doug Janke, how you doing, sir?
Not bad, Kev. Hey, I thought I would bring this up to the listeners. First off, thanks, Kev, for taking this week. I got to sleep in a little bit, so that's awesome. But I want to remind everybody who's listening to this of another massive boondoggle that we are now stuck with, so that the people understand this no letter that you sent is not only pertinent, it's valid, is we had an outside company come in, tell Reading how great their project was going to be. It's going to be amazing. We're going to be good for the local economy. It's going to be amazing, amazing, amazing. So we did it. And now we're stuck with a boondoggle called Big League Dreams. Millions of dollars went out to this out-of-area company with promises of grandeur, and Reading now has the boondoggle around their neck, no money to work it, no money to operate it. It was run poorly from the get-go, and this product that they're trying to throw down our throats now, where we're bringing in people from out of the area, sounds like a similar situation, but then at a factor of $200 million. So thank you for standing up and pointing out that you know, we don't need another Big League Dreams around the Shasta County neck.
So let me ask you this, Doug. As I mean, you've been in this area. How long have you lived now in Shasta County?
This is my 28th, going on 29th year.
28th and 29th year. And you're yep. You're a local realtor, correct?
Yep, I am.
Okay, well respected.
I don't know about that, but I am a realtor.
No, you're well respected. And the question I have for you is when we're talking about showing houses and things of that nature, I mean, does that matter when people come here and are talking about the services and things of this nature? I mean, like if we had a supermax prison, would that be an attractive thing to somebody coming in, or a large mental hospital where people are from out of the area are coming? Or because I remember when the Good News Rescue Mission came years ago, I wasn't remotely politically involved, but one of the questions and thoughts people had was, is that going to draw people here? Because everybody, I mean, I don't think there's anybody that doesn't want to help people. But we want to help the people that are here and build on that. So how does that affect you as a realtor when you have these big projects that are bringing in other counties' problems?
Well, we already have that problem. There's a really big issue that's called Project Home Key that the county signed up for, and they bought, I believe, 7 homes in Anderson and Shasta Lake City to house homeless people. We don't know where they're at, but I'm sure if you went to those neighborhoods, the calls for service is probably up a lot. And if we knew where they were at, we could disclose that, but we can't. So the reality is the county already has a boondoggle going where they're bringing people from out of the area to house them, and we don't know where they're at. On the net, if you look at Susanville became very big, i.e., because they had a prison, but it was like 5 miles out of town, and that supported the local community, and then now they've closed it down, and it's going to be a big problem. But no, normally speaking, if you say, hey, we have a lot of registered sex offenders from out of the area, why don't you move to Reading? That's not a marketing thing you're going to do to draw people in from out of the area. No.
Yeah.
Not a positive.
And again, I want to highlight, it's the difference of a sex offender versus somebody that needs mental health, but because there is obviously a massive difference. Because what one thing that's, I mean, what I would love to see, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit here in a couple minutes, but is the youth that need the mental health. Like, I think it would be great. And again, Children's Legacy Center is part of the Arch Collaborative. And, you know, my understanding when I first started getting into politics was Children's Legacy Center was all about youth and kids. And it seems like they're doing a lot of different things now. When you look at, I mean, One Safe Place, phenomenal organization. They do something for our community that I believe is really the only one of its kind. Great work. But as that organization's grown, I don't see as much energy, it seems, into the youth. And when we talk about youth mental services, I would love to see any organization or the Children's Legacy Center really go deep into that aspect, and how can we help our local youth, local, not the youth of our entire region. But, hey, Doug, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate you. We're going to go to our next caller. Ken, are you there? Ken, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, Kevin, good morning. It's Ken.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Hey, you know, if anybody wants to see the effect of mental patients, the mentally ill running around, they ought to take a drive through San Francisco. Is that what we want in the city? It is not. We're doing a beautiful job making the downtown and a very attractive and wonderful place for families and groups to go. The last thing we need is sex offenders and individuals running around with mental problems that have been released with no hope of being dealt with. And so we just don't need that. And you've done a wonderful job in bringing this to the attention, because the rest of us were asleep at the switch. We had no idea what was going on. I didn't even know about it until I had spoken to you. So thank you for your continuing service to Shasta County. This is so critical we get this correct the first time.
I agree. And, you know, and I just want to make sure I make the difference between, I mean, and I read that article about the sex offenders and about the 290 that are now have addresses in RPD records. I mean, an influx of 290. And, you know, that is an astronomical number for
it's huge. It's huge. And honestly, I'm a little disappointed in Supervisor Long voting for this. And he was in law enforcement. He should know the ramifications of the mentally ill running around. It should have been a hard no vote from him. My opinion.
Ken, I know you're former law enforcement, retired, highly decorated. And one of the things, you know, for me that I was surprised about Supervisor Long in that is when he talked about the 5150 and the drop-offs. And I had this conversation with Sheriff Johnson. I said, hey, you know, just because, I mean, there is that need. No one's disagreeing that there's that need. But then Supervisor Long brings Christy Coleman up, and she tells him, hey, what you're supporting right now isn't going to take care of that problem. And he says, well, we're just beating a dead horse. It's like, wait a minute. Because her answer doesn't fit his narrative of what he wants to ram through. And I don't know. That's the thing. That's what just baffles me. Is, you know, I understand the sheriff and some of the others that gave letters, and they'll be the first to tell you they don't know deeply. I'll tell you this: Assemblymember Heather Hadwick, our representative here in Shasta County, said she is now completely redoing how her staff offers letters of support, and she just jumped on with Megan Dolly's letter, but she said she's redoing the whole process of what they do here. And, you know, and again, there's a lot that goes into that, because the surrounding counties are like, of course they gave letters. Well, what county wouldn't? I mean, I would love to say, hey, if Butte County wants to do this, fantastic. If Chico, Sacramento wants this project, I'll give a letter tomorrow. Like, why wouldn't I?
Right.
Put it right over there. I don't, you know.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It gets us away from us. And people just need to take a good look at the mirror and walk downtown and go, do I want to stay like this? Do I want it to get better? Do I want to enjoy going outside, listening to music, and not being harassed or accosted by the homeless or the mentally ill or sex offenders, or you'd be able to take your kids out without worrying about them? They need to ask themselves that question before they start approving this stuff. They really need to sit down and do it. People like you, Kevin, that are bringing it to our attention, enabling us to get involved. And without public support, you know, people need to be involved.
Yeah, and, you know, and the thing that I will say about, I mean, all somebody has to do, Ken, and I would encourage you to do this, just Google or DuckDuckGo or whatever search engine you use, the Santa Rosa Signature Health LLC clinic. Just Google that and just look at Santa Rosa.
I looked at it briefly, not in depth, but I looked at it briefly and it scared me to death.
Well, and that's what two supervisors, you know, and some community members wanted to bring here. And again, this was kind of the fourth component of this when we talk about nonprofits. And I hate, Ken, where people get all caught up on the word NGO because of, you know, Elon Musk and Trump and the Doge and all the stuff they're talking about with, you know, NGOs and funneling money to Democrat operatives. I mean, it's like, do I know that that exists? Well, we all do at this point, but I'm not going really there. But what I'm saying with this is, if you were sitting in that meeting, if I was to say, everybody that's here speaking on it, stand up if you are going to make money off of this facility come up, you would have thought the Star Spangled Banner would have been playing. Because everybody in that room essentially would have stood up. And hey, I'm a capitalist, Ken. You know that. I mean, we probably, right. I mean, I'm very much a capitalist. And right. I had no problem with a person making their wage and making a living. It just, but you can't do it on the backs and at the peril of other people. I mean, you just can't. Well, and this
exactly. Not only that. How are we? People forget. And you brought this up very, very well. How are we paying for this?
Well, and that's just
we're already absolutely beaten to death. How are we going to, you know, City of Reading's trying to pass their 1% sales tax because they can't finance things. How are we paying for this for 30 years?
Yeah, well, and that's the question is nobody knows. Nobody knows. And when people said, they're talking about, you know, some of the argument against, well, HHSA, you know, never brought these things up. Yes, they did. Like Bailey Cogger, and I sit on the Shasta Youth Options Board with Bailey. She wasn't at the meeting this last week. I don't know if she's on vacation or if she was, you know, with, you know, whatever she was doing. But, when I had asked Christy Coleman about Bailey's, role in Shark and being there and stuff like that, she says, well, they don't listen to her. Bailey has concerns. And if you're, you know, one person kind of like beating the drum with 10, they just, you know, just tune you out. And so Bailey kept having questions about the financial solvency of this. And it's like, well, we'll figure that out. We'll figure that out. And what happens is this is how people, I mean, listen, Ken, I mean, I've made this public. I went bankrupt. I mean, I had a bankruptcy, with the market crash. And that has changed me forever. I mean, the reason, you know, this summer I'm probably going to have 500 to 600 employees is because I learned the hard, hard, real lesson of having to start completely over and making sure the foundation is much, much stronger. And it can't be built on sand or it can't be flimsy. And from a fiduciary standpoint, we cannot put the county in a situation where we're just rolling the dice and hoping that they come up, you know, not craps. I'm just not willing to do that. And, you know, we had two supervisors that were willing to do that. And I'm thankful for Supervisors Kellstrom and Supervisor Harmon, to arrive at the decision, they were at. So Ken, I really appreciate you calling in. I appreciate, you and Christy's, involvement for our county and why you think it's important. And, you know, just keep letting people know, because that's all we can do is we can just keep trying to make sure people wake up and understand what's going on, because a lot of us just didn't pay attention for a lot of years.
Oh, no, thank you so much, Kevin. When people say, yeah, we'll just figure it out as we go, that should be a red flag right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just, I mean, but there's there's...
Along with everything else.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, Ken, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Kevin, thanks for your service.
You bet, sir. Okay, so one of the things that we talked about before in this whole process, you know, I've talked about the media with... Santa Rosa, you know, and the Signature Healthcare and the media reporting on that. And I talked a little bit about the Record Searchlight and an article, I believe it was September 24th, was up. Well, so there was another publication locally. And I mean, again, you know, when we talk about media and this organization is probably has more, journalistic foundation, so to speak, than some. But I'm going to read a little excerpt here, and this was going back to just the whole thing about our local media and media in general, probably. Well, not probably, but you know, the whole expression: if it bleeds, it leads. You know, I mean, you've probably heard that statement, you know, made throughout modern times. But as it relates to how the media operates. Negative stories will get you clicks. Positive ones will not. And unfortunately, our local, and again, I'm really doing the air quotes of news media. They're just super disappointing because it's always negative and they leave stuff out to fit their narrative. And that's not new to anybody, but it's designed to get a reaction out of you. So I want to read a little excerpt here because when I talked about, and if you heard me at the beginning of the show, I talked about, you know, reading, giving my explanation about why I wanted to kill this project now and not entertain it later. And I used a biblical reference because it's just something for me that, really symbolizes how I feel. So I'm going to read this excerpt. It says, as the board debated about whether to support, oppose, or remain neutral on the project, Cry recounted a biblical story about killing one's enemies, indicating that he opposes the project because he doesn't want to entertain, in quotes, entertain what is evil, what is wrong, end quote, right? What the author doesn't write, she doesn't write what I said with that. She leaves out the part where I said, and is not the right path, right? It is not the right path. So when I say what is evil, what is wrong, and what is not the right path, that's a pretty critical part to that quote that I'm tying in, that this is not the right path. And the analogy to me is you stop something dead in its tracks when it's not going the right direction. But the author leaves that out because it inflames people. It makes me come across more bullying, more angry, more violent. And, you know, anybody that knows me knows I'm really the last violent person there is. I'm extremely, extremely invested in Shasta County. I love Shasta County. And when I see what the media is doing, and then I even had somebody at the end of the meeting come up and say, because, you know, I told you, listeners, that there's going to be, you know, the one failed ex-sheriff's lawsuit is one of many that will be coming, and it's a huge narrative that's meant to really peak sometime in the spring as I prepare for re-election. And it's not that I don't care, because I care deeply, but I can take or leave public office. I mean, it's not who defines me. I mean, this has been a calling that I stepped into that I'm not, I never aspired to it. And I think that's what probably irritates some of the political class around more than anything is that I've been the first chair, back-to-back chair in 77 years. And when so many people have just pined for it and have wanted the power and have wanted the, you know, and I just flippantly say prestige or whatever. And again, I'll be the first to admit, like, I'm not always proud of my actions and some of the things I say, even from the dais. I'm very raw. I'm very unfiltered. I say things that I do wince about, but there is no calculation about calling a special meeting at this point. The reality is like, hey, the best thing I could do is put my trash cans out at the curb on Thursday night. But guess what? Once in a while, I forget, I hear the trash guy coming up the street, and I'm literally running out there, you know, in, shorts, no shirt, and running them out to the curb. And there's been times I've had to run it down three houses because it's already passed me. And that's just reality. That's just real. And when this came up, and it came up in the fashion that it did, I just called an emergency meeting because it's under my purview as the board chair. And what I will tell you is, and again, I got a few minutes if you want to call in, 530-605-4567, because I'm getting some text messages and I'd rather have you just call in and talk about it on air. But I would tell you that, the board chair, like, it really, really matters. I know at the cities, and we've had this conversation, that the mayor, being the mayor, is more ceremonious. There's really no authority, so to speak, or what you can do as the mayor of the, you know, three different municipalities or jurisdictions. But, and again, I can't articulate everything about those because I haven't been a mayor and I haven't been on those councils, but I can tell you what the board chair is. I am always I am always going to tell people, and honestly, there's some cities, you know, that you run to be mayor. Like, you run to be the mayor. You're not just selected by your peers. And a lot of times in those jurisdictions, that mayor tends to be the city manager, and it's different. But I would tell you, I almost feel like there should be, I floated this just down at CSAC once, and we had a great discussion about, you know, if there's five districts in a county, break it into four districts and then have an elected chair as an at-large individual. And that was a real interesting conversation with some, because some of the counties were like, yeah, like in our county, being the chair really, really matters, because stuff gets blocked a lot of times if there's not the chair, a chair in place that wants to do it one way or another. So anyway, take that for what it's worth. Okay, we have a caller. Chris, are you there? And this isn't who was texting me. So, Chris, yes, sir, or ma'am. Chris, are you there? Chris, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Kevin.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. This is a little different subject, but you did touch on it a little earlier today about them dropping off the bums or the homeless from other areas.
I didn't talk about bums or homeless by name, but I talked about people from out of the area being dropped off here for services. Yes.
So a week ago Wednesday morning, that was that drizzly day we had. So me and my buddies that normally walk in the morning decided to go out to breakfast. So we went to Black Bear Diner, and it was right before they opened, so we had to sit and wait for them to open. We watched the bus come in, unmarked white bus. We stopped counting at 21 people they dropped off. And they are just wandering around the whole intersection. They're lost. You can tell they do not know the area, and they don't know where they are. Then we watch the bus take a left turn, get back on the freeway, and head south.
Hey, Chris, so I don't know you. I would really appreciate when we hang up, you to call the station back, and I would like to talk to you, because I've never met you. How long have you been listening to the show? I mean, are you a normal listener? Or?
Ever since you started.
Really?
I don't miss the show.
This is very raw, and this is what my show was really supposed to be about when I started it. But are you a District 1 resident?
District 2.
Okay. Well, I'm bummed you're not in District 1, but nonetheless, I'm still going to, of course, take that call, and I would like to actually walk that with you and your friends or whoever we were with, because I mean, I know it happens, but I've never seen it, and I would love to get a deeper understanding, because that...
I was in the same situation you were. Yeah, I've heard about it, but I've never seen it. I saw it with my own eyes.
Yeah, well, I mean, when people talk about... I mean, you heard your supervisor, Supervisor Long, if you watched the meeting, he said the word $200 million about 15 or 20 times, and I think he's trying to make the point, which I get. You know, I'm not saying it wasn't gaslighting, because he was just trying to say, why would we turn that down? And the more he said it, the more I was like, man, absolutely not. Like, bringing that kind of money into the community, knowing that we're probably going to have to double that for the services we're going to provide, that becomes $400 million. And what goes out the door immediately, if that happens, is the alternative custody program. And then what happens is, now we're taking sheriff's officers off the street, because that money would come from the general fund if HHSA can't pay that. We're seeing that now, and it is such a ball of yarn that you start pulling those threads or a sweater, it's just deteriorated and decimated, and it's no longer a sweater. And in this case, it's no longer a community. And, go ahead.
The tentacles attached to that money, you'll never be able to control it anyway.
Exactly.
The tentacles that come with that type of funding, we'll have no say in anything.
Yeah. I mean, what people have to understand is, and Chris, thank you. So please call back in a couple minutes, and then, or when we get off the phone, just give your phone number to our producer, and then I'll call you after the show. So here's what I want to end. Thank you, Chris. So I want to end on a high note. I want Shasta County to know that this is a great place to live. And I know many of you know that. But I want to encourage you, if you're listening today and you feel like, man, I just got to get involved, you can make a difference. You actually can move the needle. You can change the trajectory of what's happening in your community just by getting involved. Because I know, had I not gone to the school walkout, been encouraged to run, worked my fanny off with my team, I would not have been elected. And then when the failed recall happened and all those people came screaming and yelling because I was starting to ask questions about their money, starting to, you know, impact what they had been doing to the city of Redding, city of Shasta Lake, city of Anderson, all the other communities and the greater Shasta County, you know, it became just, it was on. And we beat that. And it wasn't me. It was we. And when I say we, it's all of you who are slowly waking up. My goal is to continue to wake up more people and understand you can be the change. You can be the difference. You can mind the gap, because nobody can convince me that there's more people that think we should just spend ungodly amounts of money with no oversight or forethought to where this ends us up and what's best for the county. I love you all. Have a great week and see you all soon.